Romans 5, the first four verses. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I guess I couldn't hold myself back from reading verse 5 also. We have this subject before us, exalt in tribulations, ? And verses 3 and 4 in Romans 5 give us this topic. And not only this, we exalt also in our tribulations. What an amazing text. As I lay this text before you, let me read you something from the marriage service, which I think will ring a familiar note. I, Denny, take thee, Irma, to be my wedded wife, and I do promise and covenant before God and these witnesses to be thy loving and faithful husband in sickness and in health, in plenty and in want, in joy and in sorrow, as long as we both shall live. I'm very fond of speaking about the relationship that exists between Jesus Christ and the church as exemplified in the marriage relationship. And I'm fond of doing this because this is exactly the way the Bible puts it. And I do not think it is inconsequential that in the marriage vows we hear these familiar words, in sickness and in health, in plenty and in want, in joy and in sorrow. Isn't that amazing? And what it reflects, dear friends in Christ, is the fact, and I really think this is the case, that we may expect in the Christian life, as we are joined to Jesus Christ as believers, and He is the groom, and believers are the bride of Christ, that believers may expect to experience sorrow, want, sickness, and it is the promise of Jesus Christ that He will not leave us or forsake us, even in the midst of trial and tribulation. I think that is really something for us to see. Look at our text again in Romans chapter 5, and I'll read again, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, we exalt in our tribulations. Notice what Paul tells us here. He tells us that, as I say in point one in the outline, God calls us to exalt in tribulation just like we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. Do you get that? Look at our text again. We exalt in the hope of the glory of God, the end of verse 2, and not only this, we also exalt in tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, etc. You know, it really astounded me as I looked at this particular text that we don't exalt much in tribulation. We don't boast much in tribulation, do we? And you know why we don't
exalt much in tribulation and boast much in tribulation. It's the connection that Paul gives us in the text. Look at it again. We exalt in the hope of the glory of God. And in the same way, we exalt in our tribulations. I think part of the problem, folks, is that we don't boast. We don't exalt. We don't joy in the hope of the glory of God the way we ought to. And therefore, when the times of trial come along, when the times of testing come along, when the tribulations come along, we don't see them as we ought. I really think this is the case, because the connection is too clear within our text. And how many of you would raise your hand? I'm going to sit on my hand at this point. How many of you would raise your hand and say, in the last weeks, months, or years, you have been exalting and boasting in your tribulation, in the trial that God has brought your way? I doubt seriously that many of us have taken that posture. I've been reading a little book called Man's Search for Meaning. And the reason I started reading this little book was the death of Princess Diana. Now, you're going to look a little quizzically at me when I say this. But the same week that Princess Diana lost her life in this tragic accident, Mother Teresa also died. Isn't that correct? And there was another death of a prominent figure which hardly made the news. It was the death of a German psychiatrist by the name of Viktor Frankl, whose book, Man's Search for Meaning, was at one time billed as one of the 10 most influential books in America. And his death passed with almost no mention. And I think the reason his death passed with almost no mention was not only the fact that Princess Diana lost her life, and we were so consumed with that loss, and so many people were emotionally tied to this young woman and got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to watch the funeral. So emotionally tied, indicating the pursuits of pleasure in our culture and society. That was one reason why this death passed without almost no mention, this death of Viktor Frankl. But there's another reason. This man suffered excruciating agony in the German concentration camps during the Second World War. And we've almost forgotten that men and women can suffer honorably. We've almost forgotten that that's the case. Listen to what this man says. This is a Jewish fellow. It's not a Christian. This is a Jewish fellow. The way in which a man accepts his fate and all the suffering it entails, the way in which he takes up his cross, gives him ample opportunity, even under the most difficult circumstances, to add a deeper meaning to his life. It, that is his life, may remain brave, dignified, and unselfish, or the bitter fight for self-preservation, or in the bitter fight for self-preservation, he may forget his human dignity and become no more than an animal. Here lies the chance
for a man either to make use of or forego the opportunities of attaining the moral value that a difficult situation may afford him. And this decides whether he is worthy of his sufferings or not. You know, I'm amazed at that perspective. I'm amazed at that perspective because it says that we ought to take our sufferings and our tribulations as an opportunity to see our character improved. Listen to what the Bible says. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. What is it about difficult times that is so important? Difficult times ought not to be avoided according to the Bible, because difficult times have a way of working out within us patience and character and hope. See, this is what the Bible is telling us. And our society and our culture today is so wrapped up in the pleasure syndrome that we want to avoid uncomfortable situations at all costs. I think we should realize that from a Christian perspective, dear friends, the Apostle Paul tells us that we do not enter the kingdom of heaven except through tribulation. Isn't this what we just read in Romans or in Acts chapter 14? Turn back with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. Work with me on this a little bit, would you please? I thought to myself when I had encouragement about pursuing Romans chapter 5 and going through this text in a little bit more detail, some folks might say to me, well, maybe you ought to back off at this point, Denny. But since we've already decided to go through the text, let's do it. Acts chapter 14. Let's read verses 21 and 22. And after they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. It is necessary to enter the kingdom of God through many tribulations. Do you hear those words from the inspired and infallible Word of God? Do you? There's a sense in which, folks, that we need to understand that as we probe the kingdom of God further, and as we understand our station under the Lordship of Christ, and we live in this life longer, the way we understand the Lordship of Christ most supremely is not in easy times, but is through difficult times. That really is the case. And that is what the Apostle is telling us. You know, some of you have said to me, it's no fun getting old. I suspect that's the case. Do you regret getting old? Well, that bypasses some of you, doesn't it? Because you haven't gotten very old yet. But maybe those creaking bones give you an indication that you are getting older. I say to you, take getting older as an opportunity to understand more thoroughly the grace of God
And it is only through trial and testing that you enter the kingdom of God. I'd like to read to you a little paragraph from C.S. Lewis now. No man knows how bad he is till he has tried very hard to be good. A silly idea is current that good people do not know what temptation means. This is an obvious lie. Only those who try to resist temptation know how strong it is. After all, you find out the strength of the German army by fighting against it, not by giving in. You see, Viktor Frankl found that out. He fought against it. He maintained his integrity in spite of obvious, deep suffering. This is an obvious lie. Only those who try to resist temptation know how strong it is. After all, you find out the strength of the German army by fighting against it, not by giving in. You find out the strength of the wind by walking against it, not by lying down. A man who gives in to temptation after 5 minutes simply does not know what it would have been like an hour later. That is why bad people, in one sense, know very little about badness, you see. They have lived a sheltered life by always giving in. We never find out the strength of the evil impulse inside us until we fight against it. And Christ, because He was the only man who never yielded to temptation, is also the only man who knows to the full what temptation means, you see. I think that's very profound. That the individual who fights against temptation and fights all the way through it is the only individual who knows how strong it is. And that's the individual who knows the grace of God. Oh, friends. This is what our text is talking about. Go back, if you would, to Romans chapter 5 again. Would you please? Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. And not only this, but we exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Tribulation works out, the verb is, works out, brings about tribulation and patience. Now, how could this be? How could this be? Well, I list a couple of texts there. One is Philippians chapter 2. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. There is a principle in the Christian life. The principle is that seed of the Holy Spirit. And you have to work out the principles of that new life that is in you. Work it out. Work out all the implications of the Christian life. And when tribulation comes along, there is an opportunity given to you to work out the implications of the Christian life. And when you are put in a particular situation in which there is a trial, that trial works patience and perseverance in you. I remember years ago in a church in Oklahoma, we went through a very excruciating time. And for some reason, people who make a profession of faith in Christ can be very cruel. And in this instance, they were very cruel to the pastor and his wife. I had an intern several years later, after he learned about this particular situation that we worked through, and it took 2 or 3 years to work through this situation, who said to me, "How did you do it, Denny? How did you do it?" The answer is right here in our text. Look at it again. And not only this, we exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about, works out perseverance. You see, if you don't face the tribulation positively as an opportunity for the grace of God to be expressed in your life, that patience, that endurance is not worked out. Most of us would like instant Christianity. Sprinkle a little water on our lives and pour a little water in the cup so that we are instantly mature. Like making a cup of hot chocolate.
It just doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. God has His plan. God has His procedure. God has His purpose. And part of His plan and part of His purpose is to bring across our path, your path and my path, trial, so that perseverance is worked in us. And what's the next characteristic that is worked in us? And perseverance, verse 4, proven character. I say to you, dear friends, character is important. And patience under fire works proven character. You know what the problem in our political arena today is? That we don't have men and women who stand up and are of proven character and fail when the test comes. Most politicians today put their finger up in the air to test the winds, and they go by political polls and focus groups rather than by what is right and what is wrong. And it doesn't matter what party you're associated with. Character is important. And how is your character going to be proved? I'll tell you how it's going to be proved. It is going to be proved by trial. That's how it's going to be proved. Testing brings perseverance, which works out character, proven character. You know who the supreme example in the Bible is? Job. What a man we have in Job. Look at the patience of Job, the Bible says. And at the same time, Job maintains his integrity all the way through that book. He maintains his integrity. And isn't that what it's about? Being a person of character who maintains their integrity and always stands for what is right and good and proper. Is that where you are? See? This is what our text is talking about. Character is important. And patience under fire works out proven character. Look at our text again. Let's read those first four verses. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, we exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. See, here's what happens, folks. That when your character, your integrity, your faith has been proven by trial, hope, real hope, emerges in your heart. How could that be? Here's how it works. You say that you trust Christ. You say that you have great hope for the future. You say that you have eternal life. Yes, you say that that's the case. Now here comes the test. Do you work through it? And do you see in yourself patience and perseverance emerging as the pressure is applied in your life? And as you retain your integrity and the world says no, collapse, change your mind, alter your position, you say, no, I'm going to retain my integrity. I'm going to walk with Christ. And the character of your faith is proven to be solid. Then you know. Then you really know that Jesus Christ has caused you to be born again to a living hope. And it comes about by your own experience in the trenches of life. And so I say to you, hope emerges when God tests and proves the character of your faith. And you ought therefore to be brought to the place in God's providence that you exalt in tribulation, in testing. And I say that to you especially to those of you who are a little bit older. Because the tendency is when we get a little bit older to throw in the towel and to say, I'd rather die than go on. What's the sense of it? Here's the sense of it, dear friends. God is at work in you to prove the character of your faith and to give you great hope in the fact that one day you will be in the bosom of Jesus Christ. One of the most wonderful things I have seen in this congregation came from an elderly couple who years ago sold their house and moved into one of these cottages across the street. And they did it in a very gracious manner. And I was astounded by that. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? Tom and Marjorie Hutchison. And then when Tom was taken from this life, Marjorie very graciously moved from that cottage over to a room in this manner. And those people used the trial of becoming older as an opportunity to see their faith grow and their character proven and a testimony with regard to their hope in God remains. See, that's what it's about. And I am very thankful for that testimony. Aren't you? Look at our text again. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. May God be pleased to work in our lives to give us that hope. Amen.